We are. Let's get going. Predators tomorrow night. Predators and Islanders, 6:30 puck drop. You're in net, Chris, and the play last night in Buffalo. Could you imagine? Because we were just talking about this. The Trevor Zegras, you know, flip over the net to Milano in front. Could you imagine what that play is like for a goaltender? Not fun.
No. Exactly. I mean, as hard as it is to do, and maybe not in the moment, sometimes you just have to tip your cap and say, you know what, bud, that was sick. That was never seen that before. That was unbelievable.
It certainly was. And I do want to ask you, like last night, the Fabry, and I realized it was a power play goal, so they had the extra man. But I just want to kind of, because we do see this all the time, there was a couple really weird bounces last night in Little Caesars Arena, and how you handle that as a goaltender. I think it was the Fabry. Let's start there. That goal, the first one for Detroit. I think they threw it off the back of the boards twice, and it was the second one that it came back out in front right there to him. How do you try to go about playing that as a goaltender? Because, you know, that's, you can't just turn around, turn your back to the action and watch the puck as it hits behind the net. How do you try to defend that as a goaltender?
You know, honestly, it's that one just happened, bang, bang. I guess you just
nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do, but from prior experiences and those situations before, I think you just try to react and recover as quickly as possible. But like that one came flying off the boards. And I remember, I'd never played in Little Caesars Arena, but the old Detroit arena had the same thing. And I remember Trotsky used to always call it the kick plate back there. It hits that backboard and just comes flying out. So you have to be ready for that at the same time, if you know in advance that they've got lively boards back there. But at the end of the day, it was, you know, it ended up being a perfect bounce. But like you said, D-Mac, like I really liked Riddick's recovery and the way he mentally gathered himself, and the guys as well. The guys played a great game, and I thought although Riddick only had a few shots there in the first couple periods, that's a tough game to play as a goalie. I thought he was sharp in those moments when they needed him to be, especially, you know, him maybe not knowing that he was playing until the day of the game. So a good response from him and from the guys to pick up Saros and Ekholm out of the lineup.
Yeah, Skillsy said last night when I posed that question, he clinched the cup with Pittsburgh. And Joe Louis, I forgot about that. It happened there on their ice. And he said as a player, there were springboards on the board. So, you know, it was like springs. Like it was, you talking about crazy bounces at the Joe. Yeah, that was like a whole different level, apparently.
Yeah, it was unique to the building. Like every and around, there's a chance it's going to hit a stanchion, or, you know, there's a little spot by the Zamboni door, or, you know, you go to Detroit and you're like, hey, because they tried that play all the time. They just, Lidstrom would shoot it, he'd have a shot right into the net, he'd shoot it wide, and Holmstrom or Franson or whoever was sitting in front of the net would be waiting for that play. So you have to be aware of those kind of things, and I'm sure you guys talk about it, especially goalies. If he doesn't know, he does now. So the next time he goes in there, he'll be ready for that. But that was kind of just the perfect storm there. And the guy had a great recovery. I thought it was just a phenomenal game.
Predators had a couple breakaways last night. Forsberg had one. Tomasino had one. We've seen them all year long. Whether it's the Predators getting the breakaway or the opponent, it tends to happen in this league. What is the mindset? Like, what do you do as a goalie? Because I'm always curious in that spot. Like, you have very little time to react. You can see it happens, and then you're going, okay, it's me versus him. And what was always your approach when that happened?
Well, I think you try to, if you can, stay. You got to be as patient as possible. So you try to wait till they give you a tell if they're, you know, like if they're going to shoot. You know, a lot of times when guys fake a shot, they'll do a over-exaggerated kick move to try to get you to bite. You know, you're picking up on body cues, or if, you know, he's getting ready to turn his stick to try to do a quick shot to beat your five hole. But the key is not, and this is easier said than done, because if they do a good shot five hole and you don't react in time, you're in trouble. But try to wait till they do something first, which is a lot easier said than done. But I thought I think Tomasino was the one he went, he tried to go low blocker, and Nedeljkovic thought he was going, Nedeljkovic played pretty good last night too, actually, but I think he thought he was going glove, but if Tomasino, and he just protected that right side, if he gets that up 12 inches, it's in the net. So you just, Saros is so good at, his skating ability, he can wait to the last second, and his pushes are so quick and powerful that he can match anyone's speed that comes in, whether it's their skates or their hands. So the guy, it is an art form, but essentially, as a goaltender, you're trying to wait till they do something first, and then go from there. Because if they get you, they're so good at, you know, giving those fakes or those, you know, quick stick movements to get you to even just to almost, you know, like flinch, you know, to go down, and then they get you in forehand, backhand, upstairs, and it's tough to recover. So the more patient you can be, the better.
Talking to Chris Mason, talking Nashville Predators, back in action tomorrow night against the New York Islanders. Mace, I just thought overall that was one of the more dominating performances they've had. I thought they managed the game very well. I was looking back on it. The Red Wings had 8 shots on net 3 minutes into the third period. That was pretty impressive. They blocked some shots, but that was a great example of how to keep the puck out of the troublesome area.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, and it's funny how teams will do that. They'll kind of rally around the situation. And I know we're going to go face a team that's had a lot of adversity here early in the season. But, you know, a couple guys out, all of a sudden Myers and Harper come back, you know, into the lineup. I thought they were solid. That's not easy to do either when you've been sitting, you know, healthy scratch and you're getting bag skated every day. And, you know, you can kind of get down feeling sorry for yourself when you want to be back in the lineup. But, you know, the only thing that they can do is when they get the opportunity, be ready to go and play like they did last night. And I thought they were really solid. And I thought Borowiecki moving up there with Carrier, I thought he was a force out there. But that it says a lot about this team, is they understand, you know, how they have to play, you know, in those situations, or, you know, their identity, I guess. So whoever comes in the lineup has an understanding of that. And then again, I thought the big dogs came to play. Favreau, obviously he gets on the board with the empty netter, but he had a couple apples too. And you know, Roman Josi, I thought the big guys really, really played well. And Nick Cousins, who I think has been just playing awesome the last week or 2 weeks here, really making a big impact. And guys stepped up again. And it's been a constant with this team all season long. So it's nice to see that it didn't stop just because a couple guys out of the lineup.
It was a shame that none of them got any points. But I was looking at the underlying stats for Sissons, Trennan, Janot. They were dominating. They stayed, yeah, and grinded away. They got a lot of good chances, didn't give anything up. But the other thing, Mace, is Detroit was a team. They got some young guys. They don't really have a lot of muscle. That was a game that they fully took advantage of that. They just physically grinded and pounded them. And I thought by the end of the game, Detroit wasn't sure what to do. Do we try to stand up? There were a couple of fights, but there were a couple of fights where, like, ooh, do we really want to do this?
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, we got the pleasure to watch that at home, and that's the one thing I noticed. I noticed early in the game, Detroit tried to play physical with the Predators. They've got a couple physical players, but the Preds have they're a tough team. So they've got team toughness over maybe a couple guys that are willing to drop the mitts and knock back down. And you could see that as the game went on, that the Red Wings couldn't hang in that department, and they got away from it, because it was a losing battle. And, you know, even last night, Cassie Campbell was saying, and it's nice to hear other people's perspective on your team. And it's been a long time since you've heard, you're not going to, you know, out-physical the Nashville Predators. They're built like that. They're a tough team. And, you know, things that we notice and say all the time, and the team that John Hynde wants to have. So it's a different animal. You can't play that game, you know. And I just look back to when the Preds would try to play that way against St. Louis and Dallas back in the day. They just couldn't compete. That's not the way that they could have had success before. Now that's one of their biggest attributes, is their physicality. And as you said, that line, who's kind of been up and down this year, I think they're starting to get their game going in terms of the dominance and the zone time and getting on the forecheck and, you know, working in unison, laying the body left and right. And last night, Detroit has no answer for it. You just see when D-Man go back for the puck and they're on the ice, they just rim it around. they get rid of the puck as quick as they can because they don't want to get hit by any of those guys.
Chris Mason is with us here on the show. I want to get your perspective on the next opponent, the Islanders. You played for Barry Trotz coach teams, and then you played against the Barry Trotz coach teams. The first time that you went up against the Predators, what were some things that maybe you didn't realize because you were, you know, right there in the middle of it that makes it so difficult to face those teams?
He just has buy-in, and one of the biggest compliments to a coach, I think, and having played for Barry, you know, early in his career, he might not have been the best X and O's guy, you know, but he just got the best out of every player he had because, you know, he kind of, his philosophy, he gets more of a personal human kind of aspect to him. And he's got a way of really galvanizing his team. So, you know, that no matter who you're playing or who his players are playing that night, you're going to get, it's not going to be an easy night. They're going to work. They're going to back check. They're going to forecheck. You know, you're going to have to bring your best to beat them, whether they have a lineup full of talent or not. And I think that's a real compliment. I think that's the way the Preds are now. And I think John Hines, no matter who they play, they know they're in for a tough game. And if they're going to beat, you know, the Preds, or if someone's going to go and beat the Islanders, they're going to have to work for it. And that's a pretty admirable thing to be able to hang your hat on and coach teams like that where your players really want to play for you. And at the end of the day, to me, that's the biggest compliment. If you can get everybody on the team to work as hard as they can every single night, I think you're doing a pretty good job. And both Trotz and Hines really are good at that.
Do you see the swagger coming back for Tolvanen? Even though he's led in shots and he's getting the chances, now the puck has gone in. He's got 3 goals on the season now. Do you kind of feel like that confidence is coming back?
I do. You know, even though both of his goals are tip goals, you just, when they go in the back of the net, it's just that weight that's been kind of, you know, you're carrying around for so long wanting to score that goal. When's the goal going to come? When, you know, what do I have to do? I'm getting all these chances. It's not going in. I put out on Twitter, it should be Ellie Tippinen, because he's got such a great shot. But you know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. And now you can just see, because I feel like, you know, before he was getting shots, and, you know, last year he was roof bar down, you know, every shot was or just miss. And I thought the last stretch of games, until the last week or so, that he's, you know, it's right on the ice, right in the midsection of the goaltender. And now when he comes down and shoots, even though he's missing the net a little bit on some of those, or the goalie makes a save, it's in those spots. So, you know, JP Dumont asked him the other day, I said, what is it with when a goal scorer is going through a drought? I'm like, what's the difference, you know, when they're scoring goals? And he said, a lot of times, and he said, for me, when I was in a drought, you just shoot to hit the net. You just don't want to miss the net. And he said, when you're feeling good and you're shooting to score. So it's a different mindset. And I think now he's starting to shoot to score.
Mesa, as we let you go, one, I appreciate the fact to know that you would fight for me. Joe Dubin. I appreciate
that. I would
fight
for him too. All you guys.
Speaking of fighting, one of your former teammates is going to be my guest on Smashville Live tonight, Jordan Tutu. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, shit.
Oh no! Oh, there he is. Yeah. Well, I will tell him you said hi for sure. But looking forward to spending an hour with Toots.
Okay. Awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
See you, Mace. Safe travels.
See you guys.
He is Chris Mason. Joins us usually at 1 o'clock on Wednesdays. But again, Smashville Live will be tonight, starting at 6, with Jordan Tutu and yours truly. The show will air from 6 to 7, and you can watch it on 1025 The Game's Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Be sure to join us, and it's all presented by New Amsterdam Vodka. Willie, as we go to the break, you're going to tell us about QC Kinetics.
All right, glad to do that. And QC Kinetics is asking the question, do you really want to go through another year with that awful joint pain that's been bothering you in your hips, your shoulder, your back, whatever it might be, your knees, ankles? Don't let them keep giving you the steroids. And don't let them tell you surgery is the only option. If you haven't explored other options, consider QC Kinetics. Give them a call. Non-surgical regenerative treatments for joint pain. The number is 615-249-4024. We're talking lasting results using natural biologics. No surgery, no pain meds, no steroids, and here's the key, no downtime. think about getting yourself up and going, doing the things that you want to do before the joint pain started bringing you down. This is going to really help you. It's exciting. Regenerative, restorative treatments that actually encourage your body to heal itself. So if you haven't explored this, give it a shot. You get the free consultation by calling the local medical professionals at QC Kinetics now. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this sunny Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's had a good day thus far. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, presented by Curation CBD, products curated for life. Don't forget us at ESPN 102.5 The Game and Music City Man Cave want to treat one lucky listener to a Manistee treatment package. And all you have to do is text CAVE right now to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, and be entered for a chance to win the Music City Man Cave Christmas giveaway. Text the word CAVE. CAVE. Let me just say this. Last night was the ESPN Plus game. Now, look, I'm obviously very, very biased to begin with, but I'm just saying, I like to check out the work of Willie Donick and Chris Mason and the crew there at Bally Sports. I'm very biased to what we do here on the radio side of 102.5 The Game and the Predators Radio Network and, of course, Hall of Famer Pete Weber and Hal Gill. This ESPN Plus stuff, man, it's – I'm just going to be honest, man. We try to keep it – at least I try to keep it real. I'm just going to speak for myself. It's not good. It's not good. Bob Wischusen does a good job. He's a nice guy. The crew last night, I think it was Cassie Campbell, Pascal. It's just, I get it. They're on a national stage. You prefer the local angle, but, man, it's just, I don't know. It made it real easy, but I wanted to check it out because I think the last one was a home game, so I haven't really checked it out yet on ESPN+. I think this was the first road game. Is that right?
That sounds right.
Right?
Yes.
So this is the first time I've checked it out. The other ones have been home games, and so I don't – obviously, I'm not listening to that. I'm listening to Pete and Hal. But this is the first road game, so this is the first time I've really checked it out. Wanted to get a feel for it, and I was like, ugh. And so it made it real easy just to sync it up. By the way, I had to buy ESPN+. Plus, so I've had to purchase a month. And then we'll see where it goes from there.
I think you're going to like it. I love it. Like the Brady.
Well, you get a lot of stuff.
I do want to watch the Tom Brady
Plus
stuff. So I will say that. I do want to watch that.
Here are my recommendations. The Tom Brady stuff, Peyton and Eli's Places. Both of those shows are really good. And then you can watch In the Crease with Linda Cohn, you know, which is the hockey show she does.
Did you get the bundle?
Have the bundle.
The other thing is you get – basically, the center ice package. ESPN Plus, you get basically the center ice package.
Yeah, you can watch a ton of games.
You get a ton of games from other markets.
How much is that?
No, you get it.
Well, this is the same thing. The bundle he's talking about.
The bundle I'm talking about is you get ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and Hulu.
Correct.
All for $13.
That's what I have. And I actually have
that. You get a lot of good stuff in there.
I actually get that for free through my Verizon plan. So I get Hulu, Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and I don't have to pay for it. Well, I mean, I'm sure I'm paying for it somewhere, but it's included in my Verizon plan.
So that is a different motivation for you if you're thinking, is it worth me getting the ESPN Plus games just to watch the handful of Predators games? I think there's eight on ESPN Plus.
Yep. And there's articles that you get that we talk about a lot that you have to have ESPN
Great one
Plus
on Matt Duchene that they put out there.
Well, but you're getting it free through your cell phone plan, Chase. Willie, you get a TV check. I get a radio check, man. So I can only do the $6.99. That's all I got. That's all I got budgeted. Sorry.
Mm. Okay.
$6.99. That's all I got.
Okay.
You know what I did?
I'm going to leave that alone
for a little bit.
Just going to leave that alone.
What? I just had to sync it up. I'm sorry. I just had to sync it up because it was pretty much synced up to Alexa, like, you know, playing the game. Oh, she just spoke. I wasn't talking to you. Be quiet, Alexa. She's like,
Alexa.
What? I don't know what you're saying.
Play 102.5 The Game.
Alexa, play 102.5 The Game.
Oh, this will be good. Now we're going to We're going to hear ourselves.
Here we go. You hear it? Can you hear it?
Yes.
Can you hear it? All right, Alexa, off.
Oh.
Alexa, off! Jeez. Sometimes she just does her own thing. I don't understand it.
There is so much going on right now.
So I synced it up. I just synced it up to Pete. I couldn't take it. It's just not my cup of tea. I know, Willie, earmuffs. I know you hate talking about broadcasters, but I'm going to. It's just not for me.
I thought it was fine. You're used to one thing.
It's not as good. It's just not as good.
Here, okay.
And I get it. They're on a national stage, and I understand. They don't cover the team. But gosh, it's just, I don't know.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second.
Okay.
And Willie knows I love him and his work and Mace's work on Bally Sports. But when looking at the health of the league, and the fact that they now have a deal with two national entities instead of one.
It's a good thing. I know.
It's a very good thing. And the Predators are getting more national exposure, albeit through a streaming service, which people complain about now. It's going to be normal in probably 3 or 4 years that, you know, everybody's like, yeah, okay, whatever, streaming. I mean, I went to a bar last night. They had it on. They pulled it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they had it on. And I know NHL Network did some cut-ins with it as they were going around, but you'll get used to it. But, of course, we love the home broadcast. And that's
the belly that's aching on social media is still – it's still
I know, but that's not the Predators' fault. It's a league thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the league thing. The other thing I think Bob Wischusen is an outstanding all-around broadcaster. I think that the calls of the game
I don't think
will
his
improve.
Is hockey.
I think the more games he does, the better he'll probably get. I thought this was the second game that he's done. Mm-hmm. I thought it with Cassie. I think it was they were better this time than they were the last time. I think it just takes a while. You got to work with a partner to develop some chemistry. And in the first month or two, when you've only done 3 or 4 games together, you may not have it the way you will later in the season. That's what I'm hoping for. I also would like to think that the production coordination as ESPN is getting back used to doing this will improve. I think TNT's coverage has been a home run compared to ESPN, honestly, regardless.
I would agree with.
And I think part of that is because it's basically NBC. They took a lot of the NBC people that you're familiar with. I know a lot of the behind-the-scenes people with NBC went over to TNT. So it feels very similar to what NBC had the last several years. So I think it's been an easy transition.
I would agree with that. So with that being said, Friday night is another ESPN Plus game. The Devils game.
Yep.
So what are you going to do? You're just going to, because you'll be
there. Good question. Well, yeah, I'm going to be up there.
Well, there's a lot to do in Newark, so, I mean, the choices are endless.
Well, this is my dilemma, is we're staying in the home base, and we're staying in the same hotel in New York City the entire 3 games.
Yeah.
So do I just want to watch on ESPN Plus, or do I want to go down there?
No, you just want to stay in New York and stay in the Big Apple.
Might. My son's got a high school game that night, so I might –
yeah,
pull up two games.
I've been in that arena. What is it called now? Is it still the?
It's
Prudential?
The Rock, man. The Rock Prudential Center.
Yeah. Okay. It's been that way for. I've been in there when I 2012 covered the Super Bowl.
It's a nice building.
Broncos. What was that? The Broncos and the Seahawks. Which one? Which Broncos Super Bowl was that? The one in East.
The one
Rutherford.
That Joe Buck referenced the other night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That
was the Broncos Seahawks, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a great line by Joe Buck, by the way.
So they had the media days at the Rock. So on that Tuesday morning, I've been there.
It's a great place.
Yeah, no, it's a nice place. It's right there. It's weird. It's just like driving right in the middle of the Strip. I mean, downtown, right? And it's just boom, there it is. Like it's not off an exit. It's not off secluded. It's just like the main drag, and boom, there it is. You're at the arena. So, yeah, it's a nice arena. Has the practice rink attached to it? like others do.
That's one thing that's really cool. Obviously, would be hard to do, you know, with the footprint of Bridgestone Arena. But I think it's cool that, that there are a lot of teams that have that, that their practice facilities attached to the
Columbus
arena.
I think has that, right? Columbus does. That's the ones I've been in that I think I remember seeing. All right, let's go to our phone line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Joey, what's up?
Hey, I wanted to chime in about ESPN Plus.
Chime in.
All right, so this guy, I don't know what his name is, he's talking about basketball and Rick Pitino, and in the middle of this long, boring story, Yossi goes in, goes through four defenders, does an amazing goal, and he was kind of perturbed, and finally he goes, oh, okay, now that Yossi Golden interrupted my story, he goes back into his basketball story, ignores what Yossi did and the fact that he's, you know, up for a second Norris Trophy. No mention of that and no mention of how great Yossi is. Those announcers don't know anything about the Preds. They just care about being on TV and really doesn't know a whole lot about hockey, in my opinion.
You talking about, was this last night? Was this last night?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was last night when Yossi, when he went through four defenders to get that goal.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a little broadcasting lesson. This is one that I think Bob Wischusen will adjust to. That I think all of us that have done a lot of different sports, there's certainly different amounts of time you have to drop in a story. Bob was telling an interesting story that he was making a point that his partner was making about the importance of every player and every role that they play, and that you go from being a super scorer to get to the NHL, but then in the NHL you might be a fourth liner. So he's trying to tell a story to support this, but the problem is in hockey, you don't always have time to tell the story, and that's exactly what happened. Roman Yossi made an incredible move to score that goal. A lot of you have probably seen it, and he was in mid-story, and he had to stop the story to call the goal. It's happened to everybody to do that, but that's when you try to gauge, okay, if I'm going to tell this story, I got to be sure that I can get it in, get it out quick, and not risk the big moment. And he, sometimes you gamble, you want to finish your point, you see the play develop, and you're like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So that's where, to me, that's a Bob Wischusen. Yeah. Hasn't done a lot of hockey lately. He probably has early in his career, but he's the Jets play-by-play announcer for football. We've seen him do a gazillion college basketball and college football games. He does a great job, but I think it's just an adjustment to hockey. I think that's the kind of thing that will not be the same down the road.
You know,
but that's one where you kind of lost the excitement of a highlight type of goal there.
Obviously, baseball is different than hockey, but my favorite, Vin Scully was so good at that. That Vin Scully could weave in the play with a story.
Right.
That,
but that's baseball. It lends itself to that.
I know.
There's no other sport that can allow that better than baseball.
And unfortunately, hockey just doesn't give you the time to do that.
But how many times have you heard Vin Scully, like, he'll be in the middle of a story, guy hits a home run, he'll be like, and it's far and deep, and it's a home run for the Dodgers. And to wrap up the story, that's why he played baseball, you know? Like, he was just so good at that. But I get it. It's obviously very different with baseball and hockey.
Chase, we know all about it. Willie and I used to have Vin Scully call into our show all the time.
Yeah, not the real Vin Scully, but a reasonable facsimile.
Well, I think people were convinced it was the real Vin Scully. So, worked for me. I didn't see that last night. At that point, I must have already punted the coverage and told you-know-who to put it on 102.5 The Game. I'm not going to say her name because she'll start talking again. I guess at that point, that was late first period, I probably had moved on. I went back a little bit later, and I gave it a little bit more, and I was like, okay. Back to Pete and Hal. I checked it out. Didn't work for me. Let's go to Nate. Nate is up next on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hey, guys. I had a question about where I could watch the games on ESPN Plus, because we went to a local establishment last night, and they got confused about whether they had ESPN Plus or not. They learned they didn't because, like, DirecTV or something is blocking the establishment from obtaining ESPN Plus, which I don't understand that anyway.
It's a streaming service.
But, yeah, That's what I was saying. But I mean, where'd you go watch it, Chase?
Well, it would have to be a smart TV, right? You have to have the. It has to be.
Not compatible.
Yeah, but a lot of
you can watch it like on laptops and stuff, and I'm sure the restaurants have a way where they can plug that laptop into the, I guess, server or whatever you call it, and broadcast it that way.
A lot of bars are set up for it now, like Buffalo Wild Wings is, because they show the UFC fights and stuff that are on ESPN Plus, so they're set up for that, and that's what it was.
Yeah, so. I figured B-Dubs would have it. So, all right, thanks, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, real quick, before we, because Willie's about to leave, I wanted to bring this up earlier, but Darren, you're not here. You he's depressed today. You know, usually he comes in on travel days and he's got kind of some pep in his step and he's like looking nice, but you know, because the team's already there, he's got to fly like the rest of us. And you can, like, he knows
no
he's
TSA
gotta,
free.
Yeah, he's got to go through security.
Yeah.
And,
let me just tell you, Chase, to get through there to the.
Which is interesting because I'm sitting here watching him stuff his face for the last 20 minutes. And I was getting ready to blurt out, why are you eating? You're getting ready to get on the plane. Mm-hmm. They're going to feed you like a king, you know? And then I was like, oh, yeah.
Just a regular dude
now. He's got to fly like the rest of us smucks. Yeah. Oh, that's right. He's just going to get a little bag of three peanuts.
But do you know what the difference is, Darren? I'm sure whoever booked his flight, you know, isn't going to send him to Calgary when you don't have to go to Calgary. And I'm sure he's going to have some leg room.
Yeah. When you're in Winnipeg and you're flying west.
You're going the opposite direction. Sorry, still
Holmes that away. We're going the opposite way. Yeah,
while crammed in a seat.
Oh, that man. One, I love you. You go to that one a lot, so you have not forgotten, have
no,
you?
No, I have not forgotten that one.
But you got to see Calgary.
I did.
We got to see the airport, and we did see downtown from the airport. You could see it.
You know what's funny? I took a picture of the Calgary skyline from the airport. And I actually just used that on a game day graphic when the Preds were in Calgary. I was like, oh, hey, I got a use for this picture now. So it worked out.
Is it worth going to Calgary for and flying through?
No.
No.
No. Not at all. That was a long, long day.
By the way, we were
on the airport when we were driving, going to the airport from the Peg. Chase, if you remember, the sun wasn't even up.
No.
It was still pitch black.
And if you remember when we landed here, we had to get an Uber over to where our cars were because our cars were at where the team goes because we had flown to Winnipeg with the team, but we got kicked off. So we had to Uber from one side of the airport to the other. And then I get back to the radio station to drop the equipment off, and it's like, hey, can you come to this meeting? Nope. Sure can't.
That's a no.
That's a hard no.
So just remember, Willie, don't go to Signature, okay?
Well, I have to go to Signature because I'm going to end up at Signature. So that's
another
step in the process.
You have to do that.
Hmm.
Hmm. So who's going to take you guys over to the airport?
Well, and are you and Macy flying together? Or?
No, we're on different flights.
Wow.
Oh, so you're all about. So you're both Chuck Solo.
Chuck Solo.
Huh.
I worry about Hal.
The fleet will unite in Manhattan tonight.
I know. And he needs it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, safe travels.
All right. Thanks, guys.
He's got to go. Real quick.
Be a schmuck like us.
Yep. What is this security stuff? This is garbage.
I'm Willie Donick. I'm with the Predators television network. Can I get a pass through?
Do I really have to go through this? Do you know who I am? Come on. Come on. And I don't even need any food. I've already eaten. Hello.
Wiley Danuk, please come to customer service. Wiley Danuk.
All right. We will step away, come back, and wrap up the third hour of the DDC. We do that next. Don't forget to play Silly Underdog Picks with us. We'll make our picks. We'll review tomorrow starting at high noon. Remember, you get to pick three games, three teams, three underdogs to win their game outright. It's not against the spread. They must win the game outright. When they do, you get those points attached to it. That's how you use the spread. You can win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details. And to play along with us, Silly Underdog Picks every week, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show presented by Creation CBD Products, curated for life. Bicycle Boy has been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He wants to weigh in. What's up?
Hey, fellas, just fair warning. If I get too wound up about this, just cut me off and send help. But I finally, last night, I said, okay, there's another five or six of these ESPN Plus games. I'm going to go ahead and sign up with ESPN Plus. So I go and I get my streaming device going, and I get ESPN Plus on there, and nothing's happening. So somehow, and I don't even know how I did this, but I got a guy on the phone who said his name was Melvin. I'm pretty sure that wasn't his given name because I could barely understand what he was saying. And to make matters worse, I think he was in an echo chamber with another guy, and they would both be talking at the same time. I couldn't hear anything. Finally, he gets, like, you got to get this code, and there's a code that comes up on your screen, and then you got to enter the code, and I'm on my computer, and I'm on the TV. And so finally, I get it. It gets loaded. So the ES that comes up. 10 minutes later, finally, all that stuff loads. Then I see the Preds game down there, and I go and I click on that. Now, we're already halfway through the first period at this point. It takes another 10 minutes, and that loads, and finally I get this red line across my screen, and it says there was an error, sorry, unable to process this request. And so I'm not going to call Melvin back, so I decide now I'm going to go to this UZZU app, which claims that you can watch any sport event ever on the planet anytime. That's like an act of Congress to get that done, but I did it. I got that up. Now it's like just about the end of the first period, and I'm jumping through all these hoops and finally got that up. Fellas, I literally spent like $170 last night to watch the last two periods of the Preds game. That's my vent for the day. I don't know. I'm not usually one of these guys that gets on social media or calls you guys and complains, but that was a complete 2 hours of my life I'm never going to get back. I think I'd be better off just logging on to the Preds site and watching the highlights.
How did you spend $170, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, the ESPN is like $7 a month, but yeah. Now Melvin tells me, oh, you've got to upgrade in order to do something. So $49.99 for that.
Huh?
Now, but yeah, that's what he did. I mean, it's, and then, no, but wait, it gets worse. Yuzu, whatever that thing is $120 for the year. So I pay that. $170. I think I'm gonna cancel them all.
I was just say you yeah, might want to get out of some of that.
I think
stuff.
You may have ordered because UFC 269.
Yeah, I was just saying. Did you order some UFC pay per view fights? Yeah, that's a because you can get ESPN Plus. I was looking at all the rates last night. I think you can get it for the year for $69.99.
That's a nice deal.
Whatever the one I signed up was because I had already signed up for the $7 or $6.99 a month, and then for the $49.99 was the upgrade, and then after 6 months that goes away, and it would have been free for 6 months. I went through so much with these guys.
Don't do anything before Friday night's game because Friday night is this again. So just
right.
Hold on and watch Friday night so you don't have to go through the headache again. And then I think you have to reassess. I think you're paying too much. I think
yeah.
you need to trim.
Yeah.
Well,
you need to trim down.
Yeah, maybe I'll just go meet Chase wherever he's going to watch it and do that.
Yeah, it's going to be cheaper than $170, I think. I know Chase. I don't know. He gets going. There's Irish car bombs and things get crazy.
Yeah,
It'd be more expensive.
I need a bicycle to get home sometimes. So
yeah, that's where you guys could maybe work out an arrangement.
Yeah.
There you go. That's good.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for letting me vent, fellas.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna ask a question, and I'm gonna come off as a young punk kid, and I'm not trying to do that. I'm just and bear with me as I try and explain this. I get that there's a, you know, streaming is kind of geared towards the younger generation.
Going with this.
All right. Nope. And it's easy for me. Like, I can figure this out in 2 seconds. Like, it's a very easy, simple process. And like when my mom or, you know, my dad, when he was around, when they would ask me to help them, it was like they could not figure it out for the life of them. Like and therefore, because it's so easy for me, I can't figure out how to explain it where they'll understand. And so it creates a lot of frustration. And I don't know why that is, that there's such this generational gap. And I mean, you're pretty good with technology, but there's times where I have to help you along.
You know what side of the fence I'm. Look, you know where I
feel like Lauren probably is the one that makes it all.
Yes.
All work in your house.
I'm not even going to pretend. I'm not.
And
even
Maddox
gonna,
probably at this point can do it himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So I'm on a side with Bicycle Boy. Like I do understand that. Like I get it. And all I will say, what you said and you laid out is all 100% true. It is. It's very easy for you. It's probably easy for a lot of people your age or younger. I totally get it. But I will say to you, because I've been in your shoes, you know,
I know.
Older folks have been younger. See, that's how it works. Yeah. They've been young too. And all the things that young people can't figure out about older folks, they don't realize that we all did the same things. Like we all had, you know, we got it back then too. And then things change as you get older, right? You have different priorities. Your life changes. And so therefore, your structure, things that you do now are not things that you're going to be, or a good skill set now or is not going to be something that's going to be a good skill set, let's say, 20 years from now. Because, 20 years from now, there's going to be a whole lot of change,
yeah,
right?
No, I know.
And so what you said is 100% true. I'm let's just say I'm not inept. I'm not blind at the wheel. I can figure out some things, but still, overall, I'm not going to give me a high grade. I'm still like, thank goodness my wife is much more savvy. And she's very savvy with all this stuff. And I have to lean on her for this stuff.
Here's
okay.
What worries me.
I'm okay with it. I'm a C.
Yeah.
Maybe a C minus.
And like, there's some things that I've walked you through, but like, I can walk you through it and you get it. Like, with my parents, there's times like I can't walk them through it. Like, and it's hard for me because, and what I'm worried about is like with my generation and then even, you know, the younger generation is we just know how to do it and have zero idea of how to explain how to do it. And so, like, as like you're saying, when I get older and, you know, if I have kids and they're trying to explain something to me and they won't be able to. I just have to figure it out on my own.
I mean, just remember, like, let's just say 25 years from now, things that you're equipped with now, it's going to be totally different, and you may not be as equipped, right? And that's when things change because everything has completely changed 25 years from now, and that's when you get into that boat, right? Well, in your case, you're talking about your parents. You're talking 30-plus years from now, right? And
right.
So, you know, everything's different. It was a lot simpler back then, and technology is great. But, you know, if you're not constantly keeping up with it, then it's pretty easy to have a moment like, you know, I don't know what was going on with Bicycle Boy, but I'm just telling you, I understand what he's talking about. I do. And I understand when you say you get frustrated with your parents. I get that too. But I'm just telling you, be careful.
Be careful because
be in that boat one day too.
That's why I was trying to frame it. Like, I'm not trying to come across as the young punk know-it-all kid. Like, that's not what I'm doing at all. I'm simply having a conversation explaining, like, my side of it. Like, I get that. Like, there's even things that, like, with an Instagram that I don't know how to do. And like, people are, like, laughing at me of, why don't you know how to do that? Like, I don't do it a lot. So I get it. Totally going to be a thing.
Like when I heard Michelle the other, I think it was yesterday morning, talking about she felt like there was things she didn't understand about TikTok, and I'm like, well, if you don't understand it, you're how is anybody else supposed to? Older people, right? I'm like, if Michelle is going, I feel like I'm old, I don't understand the TikTok video. I don't know how they got on the TikTok video conversation, but I'm like, well, if you don't understand at your age, then how in the hell am I going to figure it out at my age or anybody a lot older, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard that discussion.
I didn't. No, I didn't. But I mean, I know.
I think Joe was like wrestling with, should I get on TikTok? And then, you know, the minute Michelle said that, he's like, no, I'm not getting on TikTok.
I'm not on TikTok. And I'm not going to get on TikTok. I stopped at Instagram. That's it.
Yeah.
And that's where it ends. And, you know, if Instagram ever goes away or Twitter ever goes away, then that's it. I'm done.
Well, it will one day, I think.
I don't know. I don't know if it will or not.
People have been trying to kill Facebook for a decade, and it has gone away. So,
I mean, MySpace, is MySpace even a thing?
I think it's still there. Still there, but
well, I wonder if I can remember my login.
I don't know who really uses it. All right, we'll come back. We're going to shift gears, talk a little bit about the landscape of the Pac-12. We're going to go out west and do that to begin the final hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase. That's next.